jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. How much fun it is to deride your family's Christmas carols. There's something hilarious about turning those precious Christmas carols into rotten songs all the kids will love.
Today, our pal Manny Petty joins us for a live music session where we harmonize some hilariously rotten Christmas song parodies. Listen as we take a look at the classic Batman Smells parody of Jingle Bells that traces its origins to the 1960s, Spanish pooping nativity statues, and Manny's teenage obsession with mayonnaise.
Plus, what happens to all those letters the kids write to Santa every year?
The beauty of the humble Toledo Christmas weed.
And for the stoner in your life, give them a marijuana edibles advent calendar. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Frosty the Blowman did some molly with his blow. Smoked a corncob pipe, took a double dose, and then drove into a pole. Frosty the Blowman sold fairy dust, they say. He was covered in coke, and the twinks all know that he throws some their way. There must have been some Tina in that old crack pipe they smoked. For when they were covered in clouds, they all began to choke. Frosty the Blowman liked to party with a tea. He would scruff and grind all night and day, and he loved to pee and pee. Frosty the Blowman, his approach to every gay, he would say, let's hump after doing a bump and just party our cares away. There must have been peyote in that old crack pipe they smoked. And when they saw snakes on their head, they said, this must be a joke. Frosty the Blowman had the popos on their way. So he waved goodbye, saying, gotta fly, they're gonna take me down today. A bumpity bump bump, bumpity bump bump, look at that frosty blow. A bumpity bump bump, bumpity bump bump, snorting the clouds of blow. A bumpity bump bump, bumpity bump bump, look at that frosty go. Bumpity bump bump, bumpity bump bump, they took all his pills and blow.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody!
Merry Christmas.
There used to be music in this house, and now there's music again! Yay! Our guest today is Manny Petty, the musician, friend to man and beast, formerly known as Manny Capozzi, back on Feast of Fun. Welcome.
Welcome, Manny.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, boys.
Of course, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you all.
How are you making the Yuletide gay?
I try to make the Yuletide gay year-round.
You know, that song that you just did, was it Frosty the Blowman?
Yeah. What'd you think?
Gene Autry is rolling in his grave.
I hope so.
I thought you were going to make him into a piss queen at the end, because you're like, you like to pee, and then you're like, and pee. And I'm like, oh, I get it.
You know, I originally had written lyrics about him peeing and yellow snow and all that, but I decided to just stick with the drugs.
Yeah, stick with the cocaine and the Tina,
the Molly
and all that kind
and
of stuff.
Tina
and for people that out there that don't know, you did a little reference to the party with a T, because that's what people do on the hookup app. So, like, with a capital T, because they're into Tina. And
now you learn, kids, you can get free drugs from strangers through your apps.
And now, and P&P means party and play. So you do drugs with somebody, and then you have sex with them for hours.
I thought it was about urinating.
Mm-mm.
And then,
well,
clouds.
That might be part of it.
Isn't clouds like an, I also clouds have the clouds is, reference.
Yes, yes, that's a reference to the smoke you make as you're smoking the crystal.
Yeah.
The first. Oh, so when you were a kid, like, did you giggle in school when they forced you to sing a song and you were like, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to sing my own rotten version of it?
I think everyone's done that, right? Yeah. I just take it to a whole new level.
I think it's still, like, I think that's some of the best Christmas songs, actually. The ones we remember the most is, you know, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. Did you know there
actually lost his wheel and
Joker ran away with the gay?
Did you know there's an actual full version of that? And I've never
Are there more lyrics?
There was, I guess, somebody like compiled from school kids all the different bastardized version of Jingle Bells. So I'll say it for you real fast. Dashing through the snow on a one horse sloping sleigh, Joker's on the go, laughing all the way. Bells on penguins ring, making Riddler want to fight. Two-Face wants to flip a coin and sing this song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. Batmobile lost its wheel and Joker got away. Hey! And that's it.
Okay.
Wow. That's pretty intense.
And as kids, we were just like, we did that with like the Pledge of Allegiance and the, you know, National Anthem. Mm-hmm. The more serious the song got, the more rotten we would want to make it.
I remember when my family used to go Christmas caroling in our neighborhood. No, really dorky. Some of the neighbors would come over, and then we'd go over to the other neighbors with the adults and stuff, and my brother and I and some of the other kids would try and sing that, and our parents would always squash it down. Like, don't sing that song. Don't. This is about, we're having a good time. Don't ruin it for everyone.
Please, kids, it's Christmas time.
Not on Christmas. Not you wanted your cha-cha heels, didn't you?
I sure did.
Well, and for us, you know, it's, oh, come in my anus, forceful and dominant. Oh, please spread inside me your man mayonnaise.
That's the song for Manny, because he's Emmanuel is his name.
Oh, come Emmanuel. Well, right. That's definitely my
name. That's honey. My way. So, Manny, why did you get the name change?
Well, Manny Petty, it's because I'm kind of like Tom Petty, except I'm just a big old homo, you know? So I just figured it works.
It's a play on manicure, pedicure. Yeah,
I'm kind of like a gay Jack Black. I'm like a Jack you off you should black, you know?
Maybe do like manicures during like in between sets.
I could have like a manicurist on stage.
Yeah, just do it yourself.
Me?
Just some Petty's nails, and just, you know, file away. And
yeah, when you listen to my music, your nails will look
fabulous. Well, are you trying to separate your performance from your professional life? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I do comedy music, but I also do rock music. So I'm Manny Capozzi when I'm in the rock bands, but I'm Manny Petty when I do stand-up and funny music and all that stuff.
So you're kind of like a drag queen, except not in drag.
Yeah, I think that's
we're working on that.
Yeah. I would be a hideous drag queen. I've done it once.
The uglier you are as a drag queen, the more they will love you.
What's nice?
I don't know what's like.
What's nice about you is you have like, because you know you're balding a little bit on top, right?
A lot of it.
So it's like if you shaved your face, you'd have a lot of room there to do really elaborate eye makeup, like Divine, because Divine shaved her headline,
hairline,
to make it like that. So you could be fierce, Manny.
Would I have to eat shit?
Only if you want to. Okay.
I just took a big load before we started taping.
Have you heard of Caganeers? Do you know what those are?
No.
So you're familiar with like nativity sets? People have these nativity sets.
My mother makes a nativity set every year.
She makes them?
Like, I mean, she does a whole nativity thing instead of a tree.
My mother has you beat. She has like 30 nativity sets. She's crazy for them. And one year, a listener.
Well, your mother's a hoarder.
She's a hoarder, but she also is, you know, she's obsessed with, you know,
things.
Jesus and babies and the family and all that kind of
matter.
Stuff. Yeah, so she has them from all over the world. And one year, a listener sent us a Caganeer, and they come from Spain, from Catalonia, I think it is what it is.
Oh.
And so they always have in their region, in their manger scene, somebody who's taking a crap. Because Caga is shit, right?
Yeah,
a Caganeer. Yeah. It's usually like the Pope.
It's a Pope. It can be a political figure. Sometimes
the U.S.
it's a little
president.
Boy. It can be anything. You know, whatever's popular right now, like is what they make.
Huh.
And for them, it kind of like keeps everything humble. But I think also too, like these people have a different relationship to poop than we do.
Is it
our relationship?
They think it's cute.
They think it's cute, but it's also humbling. It's very natural for them to take a crap.
So when somebody you know? Farts, is it like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And just to clarify, the spelling is Caganer.
Yeah, Caganeer, right?
Caganeer.
Right. And it's from Catalonia, which is, you know, the northeast part of Spain.
Mm-hmm. And usually it's like, you know, like Theresa May, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. If it's a political figure, you can find it easily. Mm-hmm. President Obama was done. But also, like, you know, famous athletes usually are in that Suddenly there's a Ronaldo Caganer, which is adorable. If you're into scat and you love athletes pooping in your nativity scenes, go get yourself a Cristiano Ronaldo pooping.
Well, the thing with them too is though they think of it as like it brings good luck and prosperity, because it's like, you know, shit is for fertilization, right? And so things grow in shit, you know. You have to have it like little spread around. And also too, that there's another expression that they have there too, is like they say, like, you know how when people go together like hand in hand, or like he's got his hands in his pocket, they say they go together like shit and butt.
What country is that from?
Catalonia in Spain.
Oh, wow. I'm learning so much about my own culture today. I didn't even know this.
Yeah.
Now, why are you like, your family, is it your mom that is interested in the little shitting statues? Or is that something you just thought was cute?
I gave her one year because somebody gave it to us. I don't know if somebody sent us. It was either the Pope or Obama. I forget which one. And so I gave it to her. But you know what? I think she hit it somewhere. She's like, nobody's shitting in my manger scene.
That's not nice.
I feel like my relatives in Italy do stuff like that too for their nativity scenes. And I wonder, because like in Dante's Inferno, he would put like famous political figures and stuff in the Inferno and different levels of the Inferno as like a joke, and as and I wonder if it's related to that sort of history and that.
Well, because you it's about equalization, right? For part of it too is like everybody poops, right?
I think it's mostly tied to the preciousness of, you know, Christmas is just like, of all the Christian holidays, it's the drag queen of holidays.
Oh,
it's
for sure.
Up, you know, it's, as the kids say today, extra. On top of extra, you have the lights, you have the pageantry, you have the mythology, you have so, you know, and right now this viral video of somebody, people are arguing whether it's Dominican or Puerto Rican, but somebody's front porch with homemade animatronic robots, the way like Disney would do at the President's Hall, but it's a full band of people playing Dominican music with a Dominican flag, but I think it's actually was done in Puerto Rico, because the person who posted it said this is in Puerto Rico. So, but it's just like this insane level of detail done by somebody who has modest form of income, you know, like somebody loves Christmas that much that they spend so much money and resources to celebrate that. And I think about that, like, you know, in terms of like Western culture, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas and New Year's Eve, like as this chunk of holidays, is so loved and celebrated. And people are just willing to give so much of themselves out selflessly to the world and decorate their homes and decorate their communities to just allow people to come together and feel better that the weather's not so good.
Yeah, and it gives you an excuse to be nice.
But at the same time, you want to be sort of rebelling against that. And so that's where all this like rotten Christmas songs and the Caganeers and all this.
Because you have to have your yin to your yang, right? You have to have the other side of it.
Well, my boyfriend, speaking of rotten Christmas, my boyfriend recently had me watch a Diva's Christmas Carol with Vanessa Williams. I had never seen it before.
Isn't it terrible?
I love that.
But like, I love the girl band in it that she's got, and they sing a song called Heartquake. I think I got a heartquake. And of course, the whole next day we were, of course, saying, I think I got a fartquake the entire day. But what a great, horrible
movie.
Some
of those farts are like that.
The Vanessa Williams Christmas Carol was a made-for-TV movie that was done at the height of her fame with Ugly Betty. So she's doing her best, you know, stone-cold, heartless diva.
It's pretty much the only thing she's ever done, right?
Well, she was done a bunch of other television
projects. Yeah, but she's almost always just like that little, you know, that, you know.
She's playing the same character,
most of the time. Except for, was it Erased with Arnold Schwarzenegger? That she was a little bit more of an ingenue.
Eraser,
that was it.
You have been erased. I remember that.
Oh, Arnold.
But I just love, you know, Vanessa Williams sort of embraced this, like, what is the name of the editor of Vogue? I'm blanking on her name. Anna Wintour kind of character. The Devil Wears Prada. And so she kind of just, you know, for a long time, she was kind of synonymous with that idea of the fashion editor who's willing to do anything as a ruthless bitch. And so for the Christmas Carol, her, I think at the end of it, she doesn't, you know, discover the meaning of Christmas.
Oh, or no, something. She does.
Not really. Like, she's still Vanessa Williams at the end of the made for TV, which makes it so much better.
Does she throw money out to somebody and they buy a goose?
I don't remember the ending, but I do remember that she stays true to her character and doesn't really like do. And so right now, Saturday Night Live did It's a Wonderful Life with Trump, imagining if Trump wasn't president. And so an angel takes Trump and shows him how the White House would be like if he had never been president. Of course, everybody's happy, you know.
And now he wants to sue SNL, right?
He wants to take Saturday Night Live to court over that specific skit.
That does not shock me one bit.
And at the end of the skit, the angel, like, Trump doesn't learn his lesson. He's like, I want to be president. I want to be president. Because he's having doubts about being president in the beginning of the skit.
That's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of a signs of the times. It's just like the fact that the president is, you know, sees that skit and doesn't recognize the irony of the message there. And it falls on deaf ears. And I think, like, in real life, if A Christmas Carol actually took place and three angels would visit some heartless, greedy, you know, tycoon, they probably wouldn't be paying attention anyways. Mm.
Now, one of the Three Ghosts of Christmas for the Vanessa Williams one was Kathy Griffin. So I wonder if she visited Trump, if she would have his head.
Ghost of Christmas Future.
She just did Late Night with Stephen Colbert, and this is how rich Kathy Griffin is. So if you were worried that she was missing any work because of what happened with Trump, this is how you know who her next door neighbors are? Kanye and Kim.
Oh, wow.
That's how rich she is, that she can afford to be their neighbor.
D-list and, my ass.
I know. And I guess, you know, because, like, the price of all her 23 comedy specials and My Life on the D-List and all those videos and stuff that she's done in the past, because her name was so toxic, she was able to buy it back probably at a bargain rate. And so now she's bought and owns, like, all the projects she's ever worked on, you know? So and now she's going to be available on iTunes.
Where's my bell? There you go.
So she's even more loaded now.
So you think that maybe she turned a bad situation into a profitable situation? Mm-hmm. Or do you think that her holding Trump's head, severed head, might have been a longer-term strategy to lower the value of her name so she could buy back her property?
I don't know if she thought that much about it.
I don't know. I think that it was really something on it. I think that, you know, we were so angry and we were so mad, and I think she expressed
I wasn't angry at her.
No, I mean, we're so angry at Trump and the whole situation, and I think that it was just something, you know, and she says, and I believe her, that it was something that was very last minute. They just did it, and they didn't really think, like, oh, what's going to really happen? Like, she didn't realize there was going to be so much blow back.
I wish that I could do something that would get that level of anger and hate. The worst thing I have is, you know, fans of Drag Race hating because I asked a inappropriate question to Kim Chi or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
yeah. I mean, you could literally walk out and shoot somebody, and like they'll be like, whatever, they don't care. They'll be like, you know,
wait, who's they? What do you mean?
You know, the haters.
They won't care?
Well, they would care. You would get a very short news blip, and that would be it.
You're saying because we are not relevant enough that if we murdered somebody, it would be treated as just another murder.
Yeah.
Not celebrity podcasters. Mark Felian killed them with kindness this Christmas when he helped feed starving orphans.
Aww.
But this Christmas show is all about rotten Christmas songs. Manny, you actually brought some songs besides Frosty the Blowman for us to
sing along to. Songs. I kind of want you guys to sing them with me, though. What do you guys think?
I don't know, Lucy.
What kind of songs?
Well, you know, I do have a Butt Baby song. It's Butt Baby. It's Cold Outside.
Butt Baby, It's Cold Outside. I like the sound of that one.
And I need a daddy to sing like the other part.
Is it consensual?
It is consensual. This is a consensual gay version.
Oh, okay.
This is the song, Baby, It's Cold Outside, that everybody's been talking about on the internet that is, you know, problematic, harmful, and because of the fact that it sounds like the guy's poisoning his date in order to trick her into sleeping with him.
Yes.
But then other people are like, no, it's just a woman who's trying to come into her own, but she understands the social circumstances. Listen, that woman is already in his apartment. For the time that this was written, she was already ready to do it. Women did not go to men's apartments back in the day.
It was understood that if you did that, it's because you were interested in having sex. But consent is about changing your mind.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And I think the problem with that song is that it strikes me as she becomes in a situation through the lyrics where she can't say no anymore.
Right. Well, she's also feeling him out to be like, where's this going? What's this going to happen? You have to understand what my reputation's going to be.
So you guys,
there's a lot of things.
Your feeling about the original Baby It's Cold Outside is that it's okay, it's cool, and overblown, and
I'm fine with it, absolutely.
And the reason I kind of wanted to make a gay version of it is that the dynamic between two men is different than the dynamic between a man and a woman.
But your it's not just two men, is it?
Well, it's a man that's presumably straight, and then a drag queen with a deep voice.
You didn't tell me that part. Oh.
So which one's going to be the drag queen?
Well, Mark's going to be the daddy drag queen. All right. How about that? What do you think?
Okay,
you
butt baby.
Okay, let's just try it. Just go with it. Improvise. And we'll see.
I'm doing one take.
Okay. Bear with us, but let's go.
I really can't stand.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I'm really not gay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop in.
So nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like ice.
My girlfriend will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
My roommates will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace. Roar.
I'd really better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a popper or two more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The frat boys might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No Ubers to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
Break your spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say, no way, man.
Mind if I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my gay pride?
I'm really not gay.
Oh, baby, don't hold out. But baby, it's cold outside.
I simply must go.
But baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome has been.
How lucky that you dropped your pants.
So nice and warm.
Look out that window at this dawn.
My girlfriend will get suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
The frat boys will be there at the door.
Waves upon the tropical shore.
My homophobic mind is vicious.
Gosh, your dick is delicious.
But maybe just a bump or two more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I gotta get home.
Baby, you'd freeze out there.
So lend me your fur.
It's up to your knees out there.
Really been grand.
I thrill when I
don't
touch my hand. How can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be talk on Twitter.
Think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there'll be plenty retweeted.
If you get pneumonia and die.
I'm really not gay.
Get over that old out.
Well, baby, it's cold outside.
Good job, guys.
That was not bad.
Well,
That was not bad for me.
My auto-tune is broken today. I was able to fix Mark's voice.
Thank you for inviting me to sing that song with you, Manny. It really means a lot.
I think that was adorable. Aww, I loved it.
Merry Christmas.
I felt like I would totally have slept with you in that situation.
It's interesting that you were sort of like trying to coerce Mark to sing the song just like the original song's trying to coerce the woman to sleep. Just one verse.
Just one more.
That's how you get a straight guy. You just have to get him alone because his friends can't find out about it, right? So you have to separate. Like, he's like that little gazelle in the herd. You kind of push him off to the side, and that's how you get him. And then also, you know, drugs and alcohol.
You know what would be really crazy? If we took our clothes off right now. Ooh.
That's what Bill Cruz used to joke about.
Isn't this crazy?
We're going to suck each other's dick. This is so crazy.
Yeah.
No, I saw a guy the other day that was wearing a shirt that said, "I'm straight. But $20 is $20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is pretty. That's
a
pretty
hole
good.
Is a hole.
Yeah, but I'd the like thing about it is some please. Of these straight guys want to know what it feels like to get a, you know, a package in your chimney.
Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest, I'm definitely, I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm not attracted to straight men. And I say that in honesty, like, because mm-hmm. there was a period in my life where I really was, and I thought that was very tantalizing. Mm-hmm. But at this point in my life, I'm just not.
Well, are we talking about, like, you know, guys who conform to a traditional construct of masculinity, or are we attracted to somebody who is not interested in us sexually?
Who's not interested in us sexually. That turns me off now.
Yeah. I've never been attracted to people who are not attracted to mm-hmm. me sexually.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I've had a lot of men who have said I was like their first.
Yeah. So in that case, they have interest. Though.
They have interest. Mean, they yeah. Were, I'm not interested in, invested. I'm not interested in tricking somebody into having sex with me. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's like, you know, listen, you either want it or you don't. That's one of those things.
And if you don't,
but
you're
things
stupid.
Change. Manny, you shared a photo with me earlier today of you, and I texted it to you, Faust, so you can look. At one point in time, you were obsessed with mayonnaise.
What is this? I'm pulling out my phone. Where'd you send this photo?
I was heartily obsessed with mayonnaise when I was growing up, and I used to want to create my own brand of mayonnaise called Manny's Mayonnaise.
And you did. I was going to mass produce. Well,
wow. I was going to mass produce. It's a photo of me licking a knife with mayo on it, and I'm
damn,
holding.
You look great in this photo.
I was 16 in that photo. Oh, of course, shit. I look great.
Sorry. Oh wow, you look that's like Twinkie a Manny. You look like a 1950s, you know, ad for Miracle Whip. Like, so the boys licking the knife seductively, like it would be some phallic thing.
And do you still have a thing for mayonnaise?
I don't. I've transitioned to ketchup.
Oh really?
Yeah, ketchup is now my obsession.
So you would have mayonnaise with your hamburgers and French fries and stuff back in then?
Yeah, pretty much everything.
Have you ever had homemade mayonnaise?
Yes. That's Cameron just made some the other night. It was so delicious.
Cameron's your boyfriend, your partner, fiance.
Does he have a stage name too?
My man friend. No, just Cameron.
Cammy Petty.
Have you ever had like gourmet ketchup? Like, you know, we actually had one brand that was made with butternut squash.
Ooh.
That was incredibly delicious.
I would do that. I would try that.
You can buy, just Google like butternut squash ketchup on the internet, and you can find the company that makes it. You can buy it online. What is it? Because, you know, some people like Alaska, we went out to eat one time with Alaska, and we're having burgers and fries, and Mark turned to Alaska and says, "Fausto buys off-brand ketchup."
She just like...
Well, because you guys are very proud of your Pennsylvania.
Do you buy the cat soup?
Heinz.
Yeah, well, she lived in Pittsburgh. And, so and Foster's like, there's no difference in this ketchup. And I'm like, there's a big difference between ketchups. You don't buy Del Monte. You just don't.
And I was like, so every time I buy Heinz ketchup and we get the Simply Organic, because I didn't want to eat fructose corn syrup.
No.
And so I think about Alaska just reading me to filth because I was willing to use anything but other than Heinz.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, mm-hmm. Pennsylvanians.
You know who's getting read to filth is the UPS stores.
They, why?
Because they did a little tweet and it didn't go over so well. And so they had to, since they've deleted it, this is the tweet they sent. The UPS store, for people who don't know, is a place where you can mail packages, you can do your office stuff there, you know, all that kind of things. And they tweeted out, "If your child addresses a letter to the North Pole, you can leave it with us. We do shredding."
Oh my God. Is that a single UPS store, or is that like corporate?
I think it's the UPS store at theupsstore.com. The people are just like, did the Grinch hack the UPS Twitter? What's going on?
Do you think it was a rogue like employee, or was it an official?
I think they thought it would be kind of funny because, you know, what is it? It's the Wendy's one that's out there that's like reading it because, you know, Wendy's,
sassy.
It's all sassy.
The sassy,
so they
Wendy's
thought it would
Twitter.
Be like really sassy to be able to do that, you know?
But I feel like that's one thing you can't mess with. You can't mess with bursting the bubble of Christmas for kids.
No.
I feel like that's a line.
And if there's any kids listening to this show right now, turn it off.
Now? not when it started.
Did you know that, like, since pretty much since Santa Claus was a thing with the Coca-Cola advertising campaign at the turn of the century, kids have been writing letters to Santa and addressing it basically Santa Claus, North Pole, done. And they put it in the United States Postal Service, and the United States Postal Service is like, we don't know what to do with the letters. And a lot of them actually did get destroyed, shredded, burned, whatever.
Well, what else are you going to do with them?
Quite some time, there's a project called Operation Santa that the United States Postal Service runs that actually asks for volunteers to help writing back to kids, and even as volunteering to sending small gifts and donations to these kids that are writing to Santa. So United States Postal Service you can participate either with your company or as an individual, but you have to get screened. Obviously, they don't want some, you know, some person sending poison to children or something. Go to delivercheer.com and you can work with the United States Postal Service to respond to kids. So it's a nice thing to do, and you know, you can help some kid believe in the magic of the holiday season. But at the same time, I'm just like, you know, couldn't your mom and dad just like pretend that the letter came in and go to the post? Because you can go to the post office and get a stamp cancellation that says North Pole on it.
Aww.
Yeah. So the U.S. most post offices have that stamp, and they'll cancel. You know, they're like, sucker, we just got 29 cents or 32 cents.
I don't know.
I don't know how much a stamp costs these days.
40 cents now or something like that.
Something right? Really high. We just got 40 cents out of you. But you can cancel. You can pretend like you're writing a letter back to your child and give it to them. And, you
and
know.
I think nowadays they can modernize. Instead of gifts, you can just send them a GIF. I think that would be cute. You know?
No gifts this year, kids, but plenty of GIFs online. Animated GIFs. Would you like that?
What is did you ever write a letter to Santa as a kid?
Well, you know, growing up, my parents are from Italy, so, you know, when they grew up, Santa Claus wasn't really a thing in Italy. Now it is.
You guys have a witch, right?
A witch, yeah. The Befana. So back
the Christmas
then,
witch.
You would leave your shoe out on the balcony or on the porch, and then she would leave stuff for you in the shoe.
Okay.
So instead of stocks, kind of a play on the stockings.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that leave- the in terms of history of Christmas or pagan holidays, putting straw or gifts in the shoe and leaving outside for elves or later witches is one of the oldest traditions. Mm-hmm. And that's where the whole association of gifts and the winter holidays comes from.
So would you do that as a kid yourself?
We would do that. And then we would have somebody dress up like a terrifying witch. And they would come over, like, and all the kids would pretty much be horrified.
Oh, really?
Scared. Yeah. And she was supposed to be this nice witch, but she looked like hell.
Oh,
yeah. She looked absolutely terrified.
Would she have like a broom and stuff?
She had a broom. She had a horrible face.
Would she like a normal? Like she would wear a mask, or she? They just
it would
found
be like a man with a
the
mask,
village.
Pretending to be a witch.
Oh, it was like a drag queen,
and it freaked me the hell out.
Oh,
I would
my
be
God.
So scared of Christmas growing up.
But
where did you grow up?
Just in Chicago, but
this
on
is
North
a Chicago
side.
Tradition. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we were part of the Italian American Club, so we would go to the Italian American Club gathering, and that's where they would have the witch. But then at home, somebody would dress up like Santa later, and that was better.
That's really sweet.
And Italians have the best Christmas cookies. Well, next to our Christmas cookies.
Well, you had our Christmas cookies.
You guys made some devastatingly good Italian
cookies.
So,
Manny, because I know you're a big cookie connoisseur. You love to eat.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes.
He did write a song, Let's Get Fat Together.
I did.
Touché. And so I want you to give me the real hard truth. If you don't like it, tell me. I will not have my feelings hurt. You had the, what is that, fruitcake cookie covered in chocolate. What'd you think about that?
The fruitcake cookie covered in chocolate. That was the one with the darker one.
Yes.
I thought that was probably my favorite.
Okay. What is it that you liked about it?
I like that it's not too sweet, but it's got a lot of like candied fruit sort of on it, but it's also the texture is great. It's soft, but not too hard. It's perfect.
It's like a gingerbread cookie with candied nuts and fruits.
It.
And then we had lemon pound cake cookies.
The
emphasis
pound
on the
was
pound and the cake.
Yeah, the pounding. I love a good pounding, so it was perfect.
What did you like about that one?
I also liked that one was, it was a little bit sweeter, but not as sweet as some of the stuff I've had. The lemon wasn't forceful. Sometimes you have those and the lemon is like right in your face, and it was just subtle enough. It tasted like a
lemon. It titillated your appetite, made you kind of horny for the lemons. What about the, these are kind of an Italian cookie. These are like almond macaroons with a candied cherry center. And yeah, a lot of Italians have a lot of strong opinions about that, whether you wanted your amaretti's crispy or chewy.
Well, you're supposed to have them crispy because you're supposed to dip them in coffee, but I always hate them. I just don't like the way they taste.
I don't like those
so
either.
So I like that yours are soft, and yeah. you don't need to have them with coffee, because sometimes you don't want coffee at 10 o'clock at night. Even though growing up, we used to drink coffee at 10 o'clock at night. My mom used to make espresso right before going to bed.
And we give it to her children.
Yeah, of course.
That explains something.
Now I can drink coffee before going to sleep. I'm fine.
Are you a night owl like us?
Oh, I'm a big night owl. Between midnight and 3 a.m. is my favorite time.
Yeah, you're like a Lauren Bacall. My favorite time of day is night. You think coffee and sleeping don't mix? They do. That's High Point. You see, High Point's decaffeinated. They have a special way of capturing flavor, deep fruit flavor for that awesome taste. Mmm. It's a coffee lover's dream. High Point, now with 28% more flavor. I have the whole ad memorized.
I love it.
So then last but not least, Mark went to Norway to retrace his heritage this year in Alt for Norge and won the hearts of Norwegian people.
Why, thank you.
And their country, mostly with his authenticity.
And my dick jokes.
And your dick jokes. a lot of the people who are watching the show and the feedback that you got on social media, they said that they really liked your authenticity.
I know, isn't that sweet?
And I'm not, because I know you, and I guess maybe I'm just blind. I'm your husband, you know, but I'm just blind to what's going on here. Like, weren't the other contestants authentic too? Or,
well, I think also too, like, it's my friends who were saying this too, so they recognize, they're just like, wow, that is who you are, is like what we see up on stage. So I think that that's what they're reacting to. And I think maybe because they don't know some of the other people, that maybe they don't come off as authentic because they don't have that familiarity.
I would agree with that. I felt like watching it, you weren't trying very hard. I think you were just being yourself, which I love. I thought that was great. You
know. And so we, Mark made some, they sounds a little dirty, krumkaka, which is kind of a waffle cookie that's either in a cone.
You make it with a pizza maker, but it's like a little bit of a different recipe. Did you have one of those?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And it's more sublime. Yeah. It's not over the top. It's like, but it's also a cookie that'll last for 2 weeks. So,
and so we covered ours at white chocolate, cranberries, and toasted almonds.
And traditionally, they're just filled with like jam or maybe cream cheese or whipped cream.
Oh, that's nice.
So what'd you think about those?
Yeah, I like them. It's like a very thin waffle almost. Mm-hmm. It's like a curvy, like a wrapped up waffle.
It's like a pizza.
Like a waffle taco.
Yeah.
Like a waffle, a waco.
Because pizzazos are one of my favorite cookies of all times.
Well, this season with Alt for Norge, they really pushed the food aspects of it and the challenges and the discussions. And Mark, you know, had to cook pig's heads, was
sheep,
it?
Sheep's heads. Head.
And
I
would have fainted when I saw that. Like, I really had a lot of admiration for you, just to be able to calmly and coolly be like, no problem, we're gonna boil these and we're gonna serve them and you're gonna love it.
They were delicious. It was weird to eat a sheep head.
What was it that you liked about it?
Well, it was smoky. It had a really intense smoky flavor to it. So it was smoked meat.
So you would compare it like what people had who might not
like
have a
brisket,
frame of reference,
like a smoked brisket.
Okay, so it was like a very, you could make a sandwich with that.
Oh, yeah, totally. The thing about it is, though, is like, you know, you have to remove the flesh from, you know, an animal's head, and that's not always pleasant.
And so when you guys served it, did you just plop the head on people's plates?
Right on the plate. The vegetarians got cheese omelets.
Oh, poor guys.
That's not fair.
What?
That's not fair. They got to eat the cheese omelets, and you guys had to eat the heads?
I was happy to eat the head. Okay. You know, well, I love head.
what kind of side dishes did you guys offer with that?
It was rutabaga and turnip.
Boiled rutabaga and turnip?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, and then what kind of like seasoning did you put in the rutabaga and the turnip?
Nutmeg, salt, and pepper.
Okay, and a little bit of oil.
It's kind of good.
Or a butter?
Yes, I think some butter, yes.
So it's kind of like a very earthy meal.
Yeah, it was a very earthy meal.
And no vegetables?
Well, that was the rutabaga.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite thing that you ate on the show?
What was the favorite thing I ate on the show?
I can answer that.
I think the smalhova was very good. Oh. What else?
Mark was very excited about the smokes goat cheesed. I guess it was like almost
Brunost.
The Brunost.
Brunost is goat cheese that has, like, they cook the milk for 3 hours, so it's caramelized beforehand.
That sounds
and
so
I wasn't
delicious.
Really familiar with it, but a lot of my castmates were like, oh my God, I love Brunost. I can't believe we're having Brunost. I'm just like, what is it? I didn't know anything going in. And I think that that's part of the key to my success of lasting so long, because I was just like, didn't know anything, so I was very interested in everything.
And you had a sort of a sense of awe and wonder. Yeah. So the people are watching the show are on the same page as you. They're just kind of discovering things as you go along. And maybe that's why, like, producers in these kind of shows, they don't want you to be too prepared, because then you're going to be, like, kind of jaded or disaffected.
Yeah, I only watched, like, two episodes, and many of the people in my cast had watched, like, every season. Some people had watched some of the seasons twice. I was just like, wow, that's a lot.
That's, for me, like, the message, the spirit of the holidays or the New Year's resolution, for me, is just be more like Leslie Jones. She's the tall African-American woman from Saturday Night Live who was in the Ghostbusters movie.
She's awesome.
And to me, I'm like, you know, she's a funny comedian, but to me, it's like, it doesn't, she's just as funny as the other cast members. What I really love about her is her optimism and enthusiasm for every little thing that she does.
She gets excited about it.
She is just like, oh my God, I'm talking to, you know, Wendy Williams. Holy shit. Yay. You know, and everything that she goes through is just exciting and wonderful and beautiful. And it's something that we can learn from. She's, you know, at the same age as we are. And she has been struggling as a comedian her entire life. She was working like just, you know, 4 or 5 years before she got on Saturday Night Live at a chicken and waffle house in New Jersey or something like that. So, you know, your life can turn around and be better if you get as excited about stuff as Leslie Jones. You just have to figure out how to get excited about it.
And she also lets stuff roll off her back because, you know, she's been attacked kind of ruthlessly online.
For
especially
sure.
After the Ghostbusters movie, especially, you know, and it's,
I wish that she would have not taken that too seriously. I even tweeted to her. I was like, Leslie, let this, you know, you're so much bigger than this. Why are you giving these people the time of day? And she's like, you don't know what I'm going through. Like, she responded. This is the only time
she responded.
Yeah. I got into a conversation with her on Twitter about it. That's what's great about
social media. That name for first attacking him, I don't want to say his name because he's the devil. It's like, now he's complaining that he's like $2 million in debt. I'm like, how do you get $4 million in debt? It's like,
because he's, you know, drinking million-dollar bottles of champagne.
Who's giving him that credit?
You know, the Republicans in Russia, I guess. I don't know. Wow. You know, people who want a little astroturfing. We know about one blogger who was like really enthusiastic about Hillary Clinton into the 2008 election, and because she didn't get the nomination, he became a right wing Republican.
How does that even happen?
Because I think some people, they're, you know,
racism trumps everything.
The fringes of society, they think about politics as almost as a sport, and they're not really thinking too clearly.
They're not
about
ideological.
They're just wanting to be part of the winning team, or, you know, resisting. And I've seen this even with Puerto Rican family members of mine who moved to the United States and become Republicans. And I'm just like, did you not? The reason you moved to the United States was because of this hurricane, and the devastation that we have right now is a result of Trump's inaction. And now you want to give him another 4 years. It baffles me.
It's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm.
And people are like, well, if Puerto Rico became a state, then we'd have a, you know, Democrat. And I was like, if Puerto Rico became a state, it might be a Republican or at the most a purple state. It may not even be a blue state.
It'd be Viola? That's crazy.
Viola, yeah.
Wow.
A lot of people don't even know that. And the Republicans are so racist and bigoted, they don't even realize that if they were like, yes, we want Puerto Rico to become a state, they would actually get more power. But they're just too prejudiced against Latinos, so they don't even clearly see a power grab when it's placed in their lap. That's the crazy thing about it.
It's so uncharacteristic of them, isn't it?
It's not Christmassy. Do you guys have any fun plans for the holidays? Or I know we're going to be going to Texas, and I'm going to be doing a drag show.
On January 3rd at the Iron Bear.
Yeah, I can't wait to actually do it, because the Austin drag scene is really just remarkably fun. And I'm going to be combining all these songs from our Incredibly Strange Christmas Music Specials from the last 14 years and putting like a short medley and lip syncing them and ripping things off my body and
all right,
going nuts.
Manny, what are you doing for the holidays?
I'm going to Washington, D.C., actually. Yeah, I'm visiting a friend that lives there. Me and Cameron are going to go there for a few days, visit the Smithsonian, check out the local
Bible Museum.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to check out the local gay fraternity chapter. We always call it the local fraternity chapter.
What's that mean?
It just means the local gay scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because any city you go to, you can check into the gay scene, which is nice. Yeah, we're just going to go there. We just like, we like getting away from Chicago for New Year's Eve.
Okay.
We just, we enjoy that. Even if it's a small city, big city.
So Christmas city. With your family and then it's New Year's for D.C.
And Christmas Eve, my
Everybody in D.C. is gay.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. D.C. is a very, very gay town.
I don't know how I'm going to feel about being that close to Voldemort, but I think it'll be okay. No, he might not even be there.
I don't think he's going to be there. He's going to be spending 16 days at his resort, Mar-a-Lago. And what do you do with your family? Christmas Eve? Christmas
we do
Day?
Fish. My mom always does fish on Christmas Eve. That's like an Italian tradition. But the Christmas Eve is the big
one. How do you prepare the fish? Is it
she
fried?
Does all sorts of stuff. Yeah, she fries it, grills it, just octopus.
Is it many different kinds of fish, or is it one fish?
Octopus, shrimp. It could be
frutta di mare.
Frutta di mare, the pasta with fish.
And that translates to fruit of the sea?
Fruit of the sea.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit fruity, a little bit oceanic, like our sapphic sisters.
Ooh.
This is a song that was actually by a girl group that since they recorded this album, they retired.
Yeah, yeah. The group was called Venus Envy, and they were around in the mid-90s. And this is one of my favorite Christmas spoof albums. Mm. And it's so good. I'll tell you a little bit about them. They were actually a Seattle-based all-women band. Their first album was called Unarmed and Dangerous, and it was out in the 90s. And then this second album of parody songs was actually released on like a cassette tape. And it's called I'll Be Homo for Christmas.
Well, all right. I love stuff from the 90s because it always has like that queer aesthetic. Like there's some kind of radicalness to it.
And on an authenticity. What is it? No, Coco Peru said earnestness.
Mm. I'll tell you some of the songs on this thing. It's Old Little Town in Michigan. There's the Chipmunk Commitment song. There is the 12 Gays of Christmas. Rhonda the Lesbo Reindeer. Silent Dyke, which is one of my favorites.
Well, that's a good one.
Silent Dyke.
And the thing about this album is you can't even get it on iTunes. You can't get it on Spotify. You have to get it on CD Baby, which means you have to download it on your computer. Or you can buy a CD of it. And that's the only way you can listen to it. But I highly recommend it, and I want to do one of the songs from it. And I'm going to ask Mr. Fausto if you'll sing with me.
Who, me?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think I'm ready for it.
Sure you are.
Well, I did bring my harmonica.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a nice touch.
Well, shall we go?
All right, let's try it. Let's see what happens.
Lesbians we have heard on high, as they sing their sad refrain, Mom and Dad will surely die when they hear their daughter's gay. Coming out this Christmas. Christmas time. May I bring a friend this year? She's real nice, just wait and see. Always gay and full of cheer, and she'll share a bed with me. Coming out this Christmas, coming out this Christmas time. Oh my God, you sound upset. I thought that you'd still love me. Only if I try to be cis and get into therapy. Nyet. Coming out this Christmas. Coming out this Christmas time.
Yay! We did it!
Woo-hoo. Yeah, you co-opted a lesbian song.
Yeah. Well,
I thought about changing the lyrics to make it a gay song, but I didn't want to take away from the original, so I wanted to do it the way the ladies did it.
Yeah, you guys
God
are just
bless
like Butch
us
Dykes.
Lesbians.
Yeah, I'm a total lesbro.
Yeah, one of the things I enjoy the most every year, especially in the holidays, is you and your friends getting together and singing Christmas songs in your living room.
Oh, yes.
And you have some really great musicians, the friends that, it, you know, the environment is so intoxicating and appealing that you guys just get drunk and pull out all your instruments and just go through everything from Mariah Carey's, you know, All I Want for Christmas Is You, to traditional hymns, and it's really great.
Last year when we busted out Holy Night, I feel like people's lives changed. Like,
it was transcending.
People were belting. It was so much fun. Yeah, we do it every year, and it's a tradition. And by the end of the night, even the Scrooges start singing. Aww. So I always love that.
And you're all invited.
Well, the thing about it is, I think, you know, they say that spirits, there's a reason why they call alcoholic beverages the spirit.
Oh,
is because it allows you to get in touch with a deeper part of your humanity and allow you to sort of put aside your ego, the walls around you. And I think that, you know, in terms of like your circle of friends and that experience, it's just something really, really wonderful and joyful. Oh, and of course, you guys are all stoned too, so it doesn't hurt.
That always helps. And then we put the lyrics up on the TV so people can follow along, and it's good.
Mm-hmm. You know, every year, because you don't decorate too much for Christmas.
We do a little bit. I do small little Christmas bushes, and I do garland around the entrance.
We do a little bit around our place, too, and I might break out and get a little tree this year just for a little something different. Maybe they'll have a little pine scent in here. But, you know, every year some people get in trouble.
That's always nice.
For their Christmas decorations, and one woman in Louisiana got a letter from her neighbors because they didn't like her Christmas decorations.
Oh.
She put out giant inflatable dragons. Not very Christmassy, right? And so she got a letter that says, "Your dragon display is only marginally acceptable at Halloween. It is totally inappropriate at Christmas. It makes your neighbors wonder if you are involved in a demonic cult. Please consider removing the dragons. May God bless you and help you to know the true meaning of Christmas." And so what did she mean? She's just like, "Well, you know what? I'm going to add more dragons." And then she put halos on them so that they're like, they're holy dragons into it. And then there's a family in Toledo that took upon themselves to decorate this little tiny weed that grew up at the side of the road. Because, you know, I think Toledo is like a lot of these northern Rust Belt cities, you know, people don't necessarily care for it, and like weeds grow in different places and it's not so pretty. So this family just decided, like, listen, they put some lights on it, they put some decorations and little presents on it, and now people are taking photos of it, and it's making a little Christmas thing all around the world.
It's very like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree, in that same spirit of taking this very humble, rotten looking plant and decorating, giving it love.
That's
the spirit of the holidays, is taking things that are the underdogs, the misfits, the square pegs in a round hole world, and just celebrating them by zhushing them up a little bit.
And, you know, for the stoner in your life, there's a lot of decorations and gifts you can give to them, especially if you live in states like California where it's legal. One company, Henry's Original, has a handcrafted holiday wreath. So it's like a traditional little wreath, but then it has like, you know, where it has little bows with the pine cones and stuff like that. It has a bunch of cannabis buds.
Oh, now, that's beautiful.
It'll cost you like $400, but, you know.
Are they smokable?
Absolutely. Nice. Without a doubt. And then if you just do like a shopping thing on Google, you can find all sorts of like cannabis inspired ornaments that you can hang on your tree. And then, of course, there's in California, they also sell a cannabis Christmas. It's like an advent calendar. And every thing that you open up has a little something you can eat in it.
Oh,
I got one on top of, it all. The Canadian company Kush calendars. Guess what they sell? A advent calendar for all the days of Christmas with little different strands of weed. And so every day you can get stoned and get high for the holidays, just like Harold and Kumar.
Mm-hmm. Is it a different strand every day?
Uh-huh.
So you can find the one that doesn't make you paranoid?
Yeah.
I like that. That's great.
And one California company has something called Mistletoe. So they've decorated this marijuana to look like it's mistletoe. And so you can hang it over somebody's head, make out with them, and then get all stony baloney.
Stony baloney.
Kush Calendars also sells a edible cannabis cookies and candy advent calendar, so you can, you know, get high instead of smoking and eating it.
If anybody wants to mail us some or send us Christmas cards or a check a 5-pound box of money for Christmas, a cashier's check. Cashier check is a great way to make an anonymous donation to Feast of Fun. You can send that to Feast of Fun at 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640.
Yeah, right now, you know, the laptop that I'm recording with is having a lot of the hardware problems. And so it is sort of like a, you know, we record this podcast almost like on a ship that has a bunch of leaky holes and it's sinking into the ocean. We're bailing water out. So if we are trying to save up to get a new laptop and also to be able to edit the 4K footage that we foolishly, I guess, taped some of the Cooking with Drag Queens episodes, is taking a little bit more time just to figure out a good solution for that. But we have just around the corner in time for Christmas, TS Madison. Oh, it's going to be a Christmas miracle. TS Madison sticking a peppermint stick on a pickle and going to town on it. That's going to be going through our holiday break. So the people who are Premium Plus subscribers can actually watch it. And you can become a Plus subscriber at feastoffun.com/plus.
We also have t-shirts for sale in our store at feastoffun.com/store. It's still not too late to order a t-shirt for Christmas.
Manny Petty, you are so awesome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for being such a good friend.
Can I do another dirty song on the way out?
I don't know, Fausto. Do we have time? It's Christmas.
Well, I do appreciate that Manny spent an entire hour not smoking any pot to do the show with us.
Manny says he only smokes pot when I'm around.
I really do. It's only when I'm with
only
you.
Only when the cameras are not rolling. Manny, I appreciate you so much, darling. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
People can find you on Facebook, and your website is...
My website is MannyPettyComedy.com. You can also find me on Instagram, on Facebook, and somewhere on Twitter, although I don't tweet so much nowadays.
But it's spelled P-E-T-T-Y.
Correct. Like Tom Petty, except super gay.
Not like a hand job and toe job.
No.
Shrimping. Have you ever sucked someone's toes?
Yes.
That's called shrimping.
I didn't know it was called shrimping. Yeah, I thought it was called towing. Shrimps. I thought it was like a towing company.
Yeah.
No, it was good. I liked it.
Well, and you know, in the holiday season, when it's cold outside, the best you can do is, you know, lick your own peppermint stick or someone else's and bring the holiday heat into your home.
Ooh.
Manny, you have another song you're going to leave us with?
I got one more song for you.
What is it?
This one is called Jingle Ball Cock.
Ooh.
Yes, baby.
I'm ready.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And thanks, everybody. Yep. We'll be back tomorrow.
Happy holidays. Ooh.
Jingle ball, jingle ball, jingle ball cock. Jingle ball swing through my jingle cock ring. Swaying and craving some NSA fun. Boy, that jingle top seems real hung. Jingle ball, jingle ball, jingle ball cock. Jingle balls grind on your juicy behind. Brushing and thrusting my jingle ball hair on your derriere. I think it's butt time, it's the right time to pound the night away. Jingle ball time is a swell time to go gliding down my one pole sleigh. Suck it up, jingle whore, don't you dare queef. Just sit around my dock. Swish and wiggle on my jingling meat. That's my jingle ball. Touch my jingle ball. Touch my jingle ball cock.
Is that too gross? Is that okay?